This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
The time is 9:07. It is Wednesday, November the 6th of 2024. I am Chad Holmes here in downtown Wausau at our 98.9 WXCO studios. It is overcast and 44 degrees. It is hour number two of the program. I want to let the folks know that a couple of more texts concerning the election day. We'll get to those a little bit later on, but we're going to step away here a little bit early on in the hour to take a deep breath to talk about some of the good aspects going on here in central Wisconsin. Included is coming up this weekend at Wausau West High School, the Wausau West Theater presentation of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And we're expecting multiple, but we're going to just have one of the cast members, Sophie Motz, who is here in studio. Sophie, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And if I have you get a little tighter to the, you can actually move the microphone too.
That's all right. Feel free.
But I know that a couple of the boys that we're expecting here in the next few minutes, but obviously it's an exciting time. You're going to be opening up tomorrow night over at Wausau West High School.
Yes, we will be.
So it's Tech Week. What is Tech Week like?
Okay. So imagine you go to a full school day from like 8 to 3, and then you spend pretty much from 3 till about 10, 10:30, maybe even 11 if you're really interested in it, practicing. It's pretty much spending your entire like day at school so that you can work on this show for about a week. And it's very intense and it can be very draining, but it's also, I think, some of the most fun that a lot of us have because we truly just get to live this show and live with some of like our favorite people just like in a space for a really long time.
I think that's absolutely true. I had a chance to do a little back in college myself, and it may feel like it's when you think about it, it's a very long day, but by the time you go through it, it feels like you want another 5 minutes with these folks,
right?
Because you're just enjoying your time and the process and everything else. Let's talk about the show itself. Hunchback of Notre Dame, of course, it is a very famous production. First of all, what is the role that you're playing?
I play Esmeralda. She is the leading lady of the show. oh, my gosh. What was that other question? I already forgot.
No, that was the first question I asked.
That was okay.
Basically the only one I asked. What I'm going to ask now is, for folks that are not familiar with the show, maybe a thumbnail sketch on what they would see. Again, a lot of people, I think, are familiar with it, but for folks who aren't, what is the basic plot of the show?
All right. How would I describe this? I got to think about this. This is usually one of the Nolan's jobs. I would say that this is about the story of Quasimodo, who is the hunchback, and about him coming out into the real world after having been told that he's never going to be loved and finding somebody who loves him, but she can't love him back. And it's the story of how he continues to grow as a person and see himself not as a monster but as a person, while others around him are fighting for those same beliefs.
For your part of the show, what's the biggest challenge that you have for this role?
Me as a character or me as a person?
Well, for to get this character to the level that you want it to be, to be, as you hit the stage, especially tomorrow night for the first show, during the process, has there been any aspect of it that's been a challenge for you in terms of how you go about this role?
I would say probably the dancing. There's a lot of dancing. It's a very dance-heavy role. And as much as I'd like to say I'm a great dancer, my skills have mainly been just dance at parties, usually like around Christmas. So there's not a whole lot of practice there. So it took a lot to, we had a choreographer come in and we would just like spend days just like practicing moves and figuring out the timing with the orchestra. Now it's just very interesting. I never saw myself as much of a dancer, but now it's really coming to be, I guess. Yeah.
I, you know, the guys who are supposed to be here, both Nolans, mm-hmm. I've had on the program before.
Yeah.
It seems as though at West, there is a group that really have come together,
yes.
and been able to mm-hmm. be part of a lot of shows. As you work together with some of the cast members, how much does that help in terms of, you know, different productions, but is it obviously different roles and different, you know, skills that you bring into each role, but having the familiarity with some of the cast members, how much does that help?
I would say that really helps. Personally, me and Nolan Travis, like, we're friends. We don't hang out too much, but we're friends enough that, like, when we're in these scenes, I think it makes it a lot easier to, like, really just get into character, because we already are comfortable enough to, like, laugh with each other and be able to just, like, relax. And so it really shows, I think, in our acting. And I think there's a lot of, because we're all comfortable with each other and we've grown up for like 4 years around each other, it really makes it a lot easier to go through with so many different scenes, because we know that whoever that person is in the scene, that's not who we are when we leave.
Mm. Oh, again, Wausau West Theater will have The Hunchback of Notre Dame starting tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Again, Friday and Saturday at 7, and then Sunday at 2 at the newly renovated Wausau West Auditorium at Wausau West High School. When did you first get involved in theater? How old were you?
Okay. So that's a question I actually got asked yesterday.
I want all my questions to be
right?
unique.
Sorry. Should have been there for pop jazz. So I did a lot of little Christmas like pageants and musicals growing up. And then there was a time where I did some church musicals for like my school. It was a really weird deal. But if we want to speak like technically about like popular shows, it would have been my freshman year of high school that I started doing theater.
What ultimately got you into it in terms of what to take that step? Were you always somebody that was outgoing and wanted to perform?
Oh, no, I was not. I was a very shy person. I was not really good with people. But when I first got to high school, I had a friend. He was like the first guy who talked to me. He's like, hey, I want you. Yeah.
Always remember the first guy that talks to you. Right,
exactly. No, not like that. But
no,
like,
no,
exactly. No, but he was like the first one to reach out to me. And he's like, hey, I'm going to go audition for Anastasia. Because that was the show that we were doing at the time. He's like, I'm going to go audition for Anastasia. And you should too, because we should all hang out. And I was like, I'm not really sure. I think I should just probably focus on my classes. And he was like, no, you should come do it. And it took forever. But the final day of auditions, in the middle of like lunch, I stopped, I picked up the phone and I called my mom and I went, hey, can you give me some sheet music? Because I think that I need to get sheet music for this audition. And I decided right then and there that I was going to do it. And then directly after school, I went in, I auditioned. It was horrible. I got ensemble. And from that point on, I was hooked. I never was the same after that.
And there's nothing like being out there on stage, is there?
Right.
I mean, it really does. It adds so much, I think, in terms of the experiences and life and everything else. Again, we're talking to Sophie Motz, who is Esmeralda during the production from Wausau West High School of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Wausau West High School. Talk about, I have a connection. I've known Brad Schmicker for a long time, because back when his wife Sarah came to take over at UW-Marathon County, the first production she ever directed, I was in.
Really? So back what production was that?
It was Laundry and Bourbon / Lone Star. So it was like there was a group of girls in Laundry and Bourbon, and I was part of the cast of Lone Star.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But it was the first show that Sarah did back in the 1991, the
that
fall of
like
91.
A Sarah show too.
And she was just she's always been a wonderful director, and Brad has always been right there with Sarah as well.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about having somebody that is as accomplished as Brad being able to be part of the Wausau West Theater Department, because obviously the last few years he's been so very involved in it.
Right, exactly.
I imagine that is something that is really a positive for everybody at West.
I think so. I think that when Brad first got here, a lot of us were a little concerned because we were like, oh, this is a new guy. We don't know right. him. And then everything that he does, everything that he touches turns to gold, because he just simply has the ability, he has the knack to work with high school students and to just bring out the best in them, in both his intensity, but also in his caringness. And I think that it really shows how well he picks out shows and how well he really does put together these groups, because every show that I've been in, I think I've enjoyed them so much more than the last. Every single show that he's done has just brought in so many numbers and so many people, and it's just made the atmosphere really enjoyable. And he does it all with, he's just so professional about it. Like, he knows what he's doing, and he's not afraid to take chances, and it all works out in the end, because I think at the end of the day, he knows what he's doing.
And I think, finally, something that I think folks, and I guess I'll put it out as a question.
Yeah.
If somebody is tuned in, maybe a younger person, or if, you know, somebody who knows a younger person, what is the biggest thing you've gotten from being involved in theater? Because I was somebody I would never have been involved in unless they needed a guy. So they needed a guy, so I got involved in it. But I think it's helped me in what I do today, and I think it's helped in so many different ways.
Yeah.
What is the biggest reason that you say, hey, if you're thinking about it, you should do it?
I would say, personally for me, it has helped me to be confident in myself. I did not, for the longest time, I did not trust that I had a good singing voice. I did not trust that I had good acting. I didn't think that I would ever be a people person because I was very introverted. And after my first show, it all went uphill from there, because the more that you do shows and the more that you meet like-minded people, the more confident that you feel. And I think that it's really good, because when you find that community, you're able to discover yourself. And it's just such an incredible feeling to be able to know that where you were 4 years ago is different from where you are now.
And also for the audiences, it's wonderful to see shows like this here in the Wausau area. People, take advantage, because coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 o'clock, and then Sunday at 2 o'clock, the Hunchback of Notre Dame at the Wausau West Auditorium. Sophie Motz, break a leg.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Have yourself fair without the boys. I tell you. you got a point on them now. So.
Right, exactly.
But thanks again, and really have fun.
Of course.
The time is 9:18. We're going to continue talking a little bit about the theater as we're due to talk to Sean Wright from the Grand Theater coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back to At Home Show 98.9 WXCO. Thanks again to Sophie Motz from Wausau West High School and their production of The Hunchback of Notre Dame coming up this weekend. And doggone it, it's wonderful to talk about the arts. And I know that another person that appreciates all the opportunities beyond what he brings to us here at the Grand Theater is Sean Wright. And Sean, thanks again for popping on in.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure.
And we're now into November. And again, November, December, huge, huge times with the Grand, isn't it?
Very busy times at the Grand. And yeah, we really, our schedule's always busy, but you get into November, and especially as you turn the page into December, the schedule just absolutely is full.
Before we actually talk about what's coming up, anything of note recently that sort of was a fantastic experience for you, for the patrons at the Grand?
Yeah, we had the Sons of Maestro at the Grand a week ago Tuesday, and what I really loved about that day was that it was a I mean, they truly made an impact in the community because they had a school show in the morning, and then they did a master class for about 30, 40 orchestra students from Wausau West.
I'd love that.
We had about 15 students from the Boys and Girls Club who came over and saw a sound check and got to, have some conversations and hang out with the band a little bit. And then they did their evening show. And so it was really, the metrics are ticket sales or attendance or, all of those things. But at the root, that's what we do is make an impact. And Sons of Maestro really did that because it was such an impactful engagement, even though it was really 12 hours in and out, but they packed a lot into those dozen hours at the Grand.
Fantastic. And yesterday I actually was on Facebook and I noticed a posting talking about only two tickets remain. That was 15 hours ago for yep. Sister Winchester. I imagine those two tickets are gone.
They might be. Yeah, really excited about that. Our next 10x10 series next Tuesday. And I love that series on so many levels, but one of the things that I love the most about it is when we have the opportunity to bring emerging artists who are local and regional, yep. and so they are Wisconsin-based and just a really, really talented band led by the two sisters, and so, they're excited, we're excited, and obviously, the patrons are excited because it's basically a sold-out show again.
Another thing I noticed, again, and I think folks really, if they are not already, follow Grand Theater on Facebook, you get a lot of great information. This Grand Passport, what is that?
Absolutely. It's the idea that we really want to try and get the next generation of arts patrons engaged. And, a great way to do that is to provide access. So for basically for one price, if you're a young professional under the age of 40, you've got the opportunity to, come and see, I think it's 18 shows. It might be one or two fewer now that we've had a couple pass. And you actually get the opportunity to buy reduced price tickets to a number of other shows, and you get all the benefits of subscribers. And so it's just what we find in the arts especially is frequency is what is important. Everybody can get a patron to buy a ticket to one show. Right. You might even get them to buy a second one. But really, when they truly become connected to your organization, to your venue, is when they cross that three times or more, Rubicon. And so the idea behind Passport is we want to remove the barrier that, the cost of tickets or just, securing them or does it work for my schedule? This is a totally flexible thing that allows you to, choose the performances that work for you and be exposed to all kinds of fantastic arts and culture.
So what do people have to do? Is there anything special they have to do here?
Yeah, the easiest way is you can just go online and you can get the passport. And what it does is you can actually identify all the shows you want tickets to, and those tickets will get pulled by the box office. Mm. And, the great thing is we're not asking you at this time to say, well, I know I want to come to ALEE 2 in February. If you know you want to come, that's absolutely great. But if you buy the passport and go, I don't know what my schedule is going to be like in February, you can, leading up to the performance, if there are tickets left, call the box office or jump online and grab your ticket then.
Yep, check it out online. Really a very interesting program that can get you involved and be able to see so many wonderful productions at the Grand Theater. What else are you looking at here in the near future that people need to be thinking about?
Yeah, we've got a really busy couple of weeks. Of course, 11-11, our big fundraiser comes up this Saturday night with our good friends from Evolutions and Design, and still have a few tickets left. So if you have never experienced 11-11, this would be a great opportunity for you to do so. And then next week, we mentioned Sister Winchester on Tuesday, 10x10, but then a week from tomorrow, it's the Fab Four, really fantastic Beatles tribute. And what's really cool is they're sort of recreating when the Beatles came to the U.S. Right. And so that will be the theme of the show. And then coming up a week from Saturday night, Terry Clark, Country Music Hall of Famer, just such a talent, and really excited to have her at the Grand for the first time in a long, long time.
And it's also interesting, again, I saw some notes that, hey, we're still got a couple months in 2024. There's some shows early in 2025. If you really want to think about going, you may have to think about getting those tickets now.
Absolutely. Hadestown, both nights of Hadestown are almost sold out. The Magic of Rop Lake is selling really fast. Dirty Dancing Live in Concert, which I think people are just going to absolutely love. Tickets are going fast for that. I Am He Said, really great show celebrating Neil Diamond, led by Matt V. And, of course, the V brothers. Of course, their dad was the great Bobby V. And so a lot of shows into January. And even the holiday season, Cirque Dreams Holidays, just about sold out both nights. The Altenburg Christmas show selling well. And, Dear Evan Hansen kicks off the Broadway season. And now that, people can shift their focus away from other things, we can get them, dialed in on the really great programming coming in December.
And you always, everybody I've talked to, if they go to a show at the Grand, they just always are wowed. The venue is wonderful. The performances that you bring in always seem to hit the spot. So, again, for folks who want to take a look at everything that's happening at the Grand, let's take a look at the shows, the opportunities to buy tickets. Mm-hmm. The best way to do it is?
Best way to do it is to visit GrandTheaterER.org. And, of course, we're on all the social media platforms as well.
GrandTheaterER.org. Take advantage. Again, we are so blessed and lucky to have a venue like the Grand and also a team led by Sean Wright that brings in these incredible performances as well. So, Sean, again, feel a little better. And, oh, by the way, how did the marathon go?
Marathon went spectacularly. PR'd the New York City Marathon, and so had a just wonderful day.
Congrats.
As much as you can running 26.2 miles, but it was fun.
How much did you break your previous personal record?
I beat my previous New York PR by almost 7 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So
Very good.
It was a good day.
Congratulations.
And I'll start walking again normally maybe by the end of the week.
Sean Wright, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
Coming up, more to an information update here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Again, it's a new address for our website. If you go to BullFallsRadio.com, it'll still get you there. They'll forward you. But get used to it. WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And the first Wednesday of every month, we get a chance to visit with Christine Daniels from the Good News Project. Always great to have her stop on by. Christine, good morning.
Good morning.
I tell you, it feels like you are just here.
I know, doesn't
it? Time just flies by so very, very quickly. And I know that things are always happening at the Good News Project. Anything in particular that's been caught your eye recently before we get into specifics? I just say a general report on what's happening.
General reports. I can do that. So my general report includes... we were really busy Monday morning in the HELP program. So that's the Health Equipment Lending Program. And there, I was called in to help because there were 6 customers and we needed extra customer service. So I went over and I helped a gentleman. And as part of the intake procedure, we always ask certain questions. Are you a veteran or is there a veteran in your household? Mm-hmm. Are you over 60? And then I asked the question, thinking this is a yes or no answer, because that's what we always get. Will this equipment help your wife remain independently living in your home? And he looked at me and he said, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And it just, I just kind of looked at him and smiled. And afterwards, I was just thinking about that answer and what that really means. And I realized that we do so much of our work ending with hope, right? So mm-hmm. you do the work, you take the donor dollars and you provide the services, and but there's always an element of hope in there. And for this man, you know, we provided the medical equipment, but at the end of the day, there's hope that his wife will get better, right?
Right.
And that maybe our medical equipment will help that. And so it just kind of really got me into just thinking about all of our processes and mm-hmm. all of our programs and that that beacon of hope that I think that we provide.
Right. One other thing before we delve into, I know what you're planning on talking about. I got a press release from you folks last week.
Okay,
received an award from the Wisconsin DNR.
Yes. So the 2024 Recycling Excellence Award. That's a very big deal for us.
Yeah.
And
I know you've been so focused on that and the success it's been.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, the last time we received one of those awards was in 2020. So,
well, that's an outrage right there, because you do it every week, I tell
we
you.
We do it every week, every year.
Everything that you do every single week of this year, and then the special events as well. You shouldn't wait 4 years.
I know, right?
What is this? You only went on election years?
Oh, my gosh, you're right.
But no, that's still a wonderful one. Again, I know that the recycling aspect is so vitally important to what you do.
And it's nice to be recognized at that kind of high level for the work that we do.
And, of course, I guess just a reminder that every Friday is the recycling day at
every
Good News.
Every Friday, 9 to 4. And we have an upcoming America Recycles Day.
Yes.
So America the Beautiful, take care of your earth.
It feels like we were talking about America Recycles Day yesterday, too.
No, that was International E-Waste Day.
Oh, okay.
So different.
And the thing about it, though, is I remember we talked about it last year, though.
Oh, we probably did
last year. Yeah. But as I get older, it goes by so very, very quickly.
I know. And that's why, and you're like, what are you going to talk about tomorrow? And I was like, you know, I don't want it to be so repetitive that people are getting bored with the stuff,
but
right?
But the thing about it is sometimes it's a year long. Like, we talked about that already, but that was a year ago. And but it's always interesting stuff. But what I know that you went to your folks over at the Good News Press and said, what are we going to talk about over at WXCO today?
I did. So I just kind of yelled out into the universe, what am I going to talk about? And someone hollered back, how about World Kindness Day?
Which is, I think, wonderful.
I thought so, too. It's a rough week. You know, a lot of emotions in a lot of ways. And, you know, I just got out of a pep rally over at Newman for volleyball team. And so I'm on a high. And then, you know, there's just different things that tug at our emotions. And it's kind of nice to land on something that's been established, which is World Kindness Day, and that's November 13th.
And
every day is World Kindness Day, right?
Exactly. It's such a we have opportunities every day to do little things, and you hit it on the head. I mean, this morning there's a lot of people that are very happy, and there's a lot of people that are very unhappy and feeling, you know, a little blue. But as we go out today and we see folks and you'll have lunch and have dinner, I mean, you can still do that little thing that might just be that difference between a good day and a bad day.
That's so true.
I mean, and again, sometimes we all get into our own little bubbles and we get into our own little issues of our own lives. And when I saw that, it was like, yeah, that's exactly. I think today to talk about it is as good as any.
I would agree. And so this morning I was walking my dog. I think I've given you walking my dog stories before, haven't I?
Yes, you have.
But this is a different one.
But the thing is, when you do it, I can actually picture you.
Okay,
and
good.
I know, and you do walk around the area around Good News, right?
I do,
So I actually, when you mentioned that the last time, I thought, I could actually picture Christine and her dog, except I don't know what your dog looks like.
Okay, he's a golden doodle. Okay. He's very cute and shaggy. His name's Boone.
But to continue,
okay, so
I
was on the corner of Bridge and 7th, and this really tall, big guy with some developmental challenges, he sees me and he's like, oh, have I met this dog before? And I'm like, I don't think you have. He's like, I just moved, you know, right over in this house here, and I love this neighborhood, and I love meeting everyone's animals. And so, you know, he was trying to get the dog to come up on him. And I said, would you like to give him a treat? And he's like, yeah. Mm. And then he's like, you may have recognized me from Walmart. And I said, and he's like, I was a greeter there. And I said, you know what? Now that you say that, I do recognize you. And I said, and you were always kind and you were always positive. And I appreciated that. And so he had to like get out his phone. And I think it was, you know, you're from Wausau when that site.
Yes.
And he's like, there's a picture of me on here. So it took him a while to find it. And he showed me the picture with his uniform or his vest on. And then he started reading the comments under it that were so important to him. Like, this guy always brings a smile to my face. You know, Walmart's lucky to have him. All of those things. And, you know, in the midst of just a lot of just different emotions, being in that space and having this conversation with a stranger who just became my friend.
Right.
And I know that will be the case because he's an open book, right? Mm. And he was kind. I'm like, what's your name? And he told me, and I told him my name. And I said, Boone likes you. I think you're going to see him again. So,
you know, and that, I think, I'll tell a little me story for once.
Okay,
I usually don't
please
do this.
Do.
But, you know, of course, I do the high school sports a lot.
Yes.
And in terms of trying to, you know, the positive aspects, because there are times when something doesn't go quite right on a field of play, whether it could be on a field or a court or an ice rink or whatever it may be. But you always try to, while at the same time giving the picture and giving the right information, because you don't want to, you know, just make it all up because it's still important.
Right.
But at the same time, to look at it as, again, to always try to, you know, highlight the positive plays, the positive aspects. And I've heard many times that there's an appreciation of that it is important. People crave the positive, I think, in a lot of ways. When we see so much that is negative. And I think, again, as we end today, one of the wonderful things about today is we will not see negative campaign spots.
Yay!
But the thing is, there's sort of an opposite pole, because it's like they must work in some respect, but people still don't feel good about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it may, you know, it, and I think that those acts of kindness, even that this moment when you're walking your dog and any moment that you're able to bring that little positivity is vitally important. And I guess to go back into the umbrella of what the Good News Project is about.
Yeah.
There are moments like that with different aspects of what you do every day and every week.
All the time. And, you know, I just the other day I was giving a tour, and sometimes I just get overwhelmed by the services that we provide, like in a very positive way. And we're a small-ish organization. And, you know, we don't have an umbrella organization that creates policies above us, mm-hmm. Or says you must do it this way. And so I've always valued that we have room to just be human and be kind. You know, we have procedures, and we have you know, lists of suggested donations for our help program, for example. But at the end of the day, when someone says, I really need this, but I can't use it, or I don't have money to give you, it's like, it's okay, just take it. And to have that flexibility.
Real quickly.
Yeah.
When I don't think people realize how hard that is for people to say, where I need it, but I don't have the money, and even though you're more than willing to be there,
mm-hmm.
but there's something I think that a lot of people, they don't want to say it. They don't want to ask for it, even though there are people that want to give the help.
Yeah, and you know, we all have pride.
Yes,
right?
And that's so hard. And it's like you don't want the people to have that pride in that respect, because it's more important to help in that moment, right?
I know, it's so hard. It's such a delicate balance.
That's a special kind of courage, actually, to say when you do need help.
Yeah,
it really is.
It is. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay. But you totally made me lose my train of thought.
I know, so you have to ask the next leading question. And I see it in your eyes right now.
Like, oh, crap, where do I go now?
But I guess, you know, we've got about 2.5 minutes to go. And I think, again, in terms of folks who And the one reason we want to bring you on here is to I think we, those of us who drive around town, we see the Good News Project. Again, just for folks who may have not attuned in previously when you've been on with us, sure, about what the Good News Project is, how they can find out more. And the thing that's always special is you love when people come by just to take a look around.
Oh, yes. Yes, I love to give tours. So we our address is 1106 Fifth Street. We are just north of the train tracks on Fifth Street. It's a large brown warehouse, and we are hoping to get a beautiful mural in the spring on the north end. But we provide health equipment at low or no cost for anyone in need. It doesn't matter what your economic level is. If you just don't want to see something being manufactured when it already exists in the world, we have durable medical equipment that you can borrow. And we also do electronics recycling. And the cool thing about that is that the program, that it does generate some income for us, but it gets poured right back into our health equipment lending program so that people don't have to pay, right?
Again,
it works well.
That circle that just goes around. And again, for folks, I think we all have that equipment around there. Mm-hmm. Just take that one moment, pack it up, and go over on Friday. I mean, again, I'm as bad as anybody when it comes to that. I have things that are in the back room that I have to pack up, and I promise you.
It's time,
I
Chad.
Promise you I'm going to do it. Because actually, I think Friday might be the day, because normally I'm always running around on Friday. I get done with work and I head off to do a game. Uh-huh. I don't have a game this week.
Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna make my word to you right now.
Okay, all right, write it down.
You're gonna see me on Friday.
Okay.
When I get done with work, because I do have too much old electronic equipment that's just sitting there.
Bring it to us. We can reuse those resources.
There you go. I, my word.
Okay.
I got the
it's
right
vow.
Arm up.
If I don't see your name on a slip from Friday, I'm going to give you a hard time.
I want you to, because okay, I am going to be there, and I want folks out there. Come on down. You may see me hauling some electronic equipment.
Yes, perfect.
And again, what are the hours on Friday?
9 to 4, and we charge 45 cents a pound. And it's all...
Even me?
Even you. It's all for a nonprofit. It's all good stuff.
I will look forward to seeing you and the folks at the Good News Project with my electronic equipment
Excellent.
On Friday.
Sounds
and I want to see everybody else out there. Pack up that electronic equipment.
Yeah.
Bring it in. Get it out of there. You don't
this
need
Friday
it.
This Friday is the day.
That is the day.
Yes.
I feel good.
Okay, good.
I needed that. Christine Daniels, always,
thanks, Chad.
Always fun to have you. We'll talk to you the first Wednesday of December.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks again, Christine.
All right, bye.
The time is 9:49. We have one more segment to go here on this Wednesday morning. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. We're going to do things a little differently for this final segment. Normally, this is our daily history lesson. We will still have our number for the day to wrap it up with Ian. But I want to use this time to, again, give folks an opportunity. If you want to have a word, have a response, have a question about Election Day and where we stand now in this state, in this country, again, you can call us or text us, 715-382-9297. Again, we'd love if you just have a thought or a question or anything you want to share here in the final segment of the show. 715-382-9297. I do have a text that came in very early in this hour, but we had all of our guests here in this hour, mm-hmm, and it came from the 715. The text line says, do you think Trump being brought to the courts, thus giving him media coverage for 4 years, helping to keep him in the mainstream, also casting doubt in the government, witch hunt, etc., deep state crap, giving him percentage points towards election, and also, ironically, it was the Latino vote that gave him the election. Well, I guess to respond to it, the thing about it is, even before the charges came out, because there was a long time where there was not really any charges that came out in terms of Trump after the election of 2020 and the insurrection on January the 6th of 2021. I I don't know if it really was the act of him going through the judicial process that kept him out there. I think he was going to be out there anyways, because him and his supporters were going to stay out there, keeping him out front. So I don't think ultimately that it is the act of him being involved in the judicial system and being able to call it a witch hunt and the like that ultimately gave him the election. I do think that it is ironic, to say the least, that after, you know, the racist rally at Madison Square Garden just over a week ago and everything else that has happened during his administration, that it was an increase in the Latino vote that did help him, that put him over the top in some of these states as well. So I think that is actually a very, very good point as well. So thanks for that text again. If you have a text or a call that you'd like to make here in the final minutes of the show, 715-382-9297. I guess, again, the good news here is that Tammy Baldwin did find a way. But boy, after a year, and this election really reminded me of 2010. That was the year that, actually, not 2010, 2016, excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
2016, the second time that Ron Johnson ran against Russ Feingold. And during that election cycle, every one of the Marquette polls, and again, I don't like talking about the polls, and this is one reason why, because in 2016, every single Marquette poll had Russ Feingold ahead of Ron Johnson, as Johnson tried to win re-election. But in the end, Johnson won the election. During this cycle, I think every single poll for Marquette had Tammy Baldwin, usually up by a handful of points, even a little bit more. Those polls, again, are so pushed every day on shows like this one and others, but in the media generally, we have to stop focusing so much on polls. We do. I'm begging the other folks on civic media, get off your addiction to Charles Franklin. Get off your addiction to the Marquette Law Poll. Get off your addiction to using segments to talk about polls. I do think that ultimately any kind of change when it comes to the country and the state will come because we're focusing on the right things, which are the issues. So, again, I do think that the media aspect is one thing that has to be looked at when we're talking about ultimate results and ultimately why we are going in one direction or another. Also, I want to make one quick point and one quick congratulations. In the Wisconsin State Senate District 18, which is over in the Fox Valley, Kristen Alfheim was the winner. And Kristen Alfheim was somebody that graduated with me from D.C. Everest in the year 1989. She was the host on civic media for a while of Rational Revolution before she decided to run for this office. So congratulations to Kristen Alfheim for the victory. In a very close race in the Senate District 18, so I wanted to say that as well. But I guess any thoughts that you have before we wrap things up here, before we go to, and actually real quickly, because we do have to get to the number for the day.
It's okay.
Okay, ready to go to the number for the day?
Yeah, I'm ready for the
number. Let's do that, because we want to give you time to think, because you're always thinking deeply, and you're two for two.
Yes, I am.
We have a chance here.
Yes.
All right, our number for the day. The number of vending machines in the United States.
Okay.
The number of vending machines in the United States of America. So is the correct answer
all right.
1 million? Is the correct answer 2 million? Is the correct answer 3 million?
Well, there is a lot of vending machines.
There are a lot of vending machines.
1 million?
1 million.
2 million.
2 million. 3 million.
Well, I mean, any one of these numbers will be impressive, but I'm going to say, let's see, maybe.
You've been thinking so hard recently.
Yeah.
I think your brain's going to blow up here, because recently you have been digging deep to get these answers.
You know what? I'm going to say B. I'm going to go with 2 million vending machines. It's my final answer. I'm going with B this time.
The correct answer. How many vending machines are there in the United States? 3 million.
Really?
I was so hoping to get today right, because then you could almost taste it. You know, where you get that close. But
boy, that's a lot of vending machines.
Yeah. Well, you're still two for three.
Yeah.
You still have to get one more to get a winning week. You still have a chance to match your all-time best week.
Yes, I do.
But, man, I was starting to believe there for a moment. I thought, he's going to get it right. We're going to be 3 for 3. We're going to have a chance for a perfect week. But
yeah.
But still, good start to the week. Ian, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. You'll be back with me tonight for the big high school sports show.
Yes, I will. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
And, folks, come back 6 till 8, the big high school sports show. We'll have Jerry Sins, the Edgar football coach, Jacob Nat Miller, the Abbotsford football coach, and Will McCorson, Wausau West senior, our student athlete. Again, big high school sports show 6 till 8 tonight here on 98.9 WXCOR.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.